Erkey today.
It's the very tail end of Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there. You might have gone to Toy Story 3 to celebrate, perhaps. If you did, you helped in breaking the records at the box office. Boy, did they bring in a lot of loot this weekend. It really was a family weekend, I guess. That's what I think that spells. Plus, the Pixar creation automatically struck a nerve, a positive nerve, with people in the very first one. Normally, I say after two, I'm done. I know I've mentioned this before, when they did Rocky 7, I just shook my head like, you gotta be kidding me. Talk about stretching out Sylvester Stallone. Is he gonna be 90 and still in a ring somewhere trying to box somebody from the evil underworld? Kate Delaney's my name. The name of the show is America Tonight, coast to coast and all those spots in between, left, right, the gray areas. We don't care. Just make sense when you call. It's about the conversation in this highway called ATN. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Given the digits right at the top, you don't have to struggle to figure out what are the numbers. So we're going to talk about a couple of interesting things that have struck a nerve across America, including in Nebraska, a vote on illegal immigration and the incredible costs of Fannie and Freddie. Yeah, wait till you hear the numbers that I'm going to spew out. You will be shocked, my friends. I mean, absolutely shocked. Sadly, and I hate it when we have to talk about these stories, but a couple of nutballs on the loose killing some people. The latest, a boy and two men dead after a California restaurant shooting. You just shake your head and say, why? Why do you kill a kid? Why do you do that? Why do you kill anyone and just open fire? Don't get it. Do not get it. But I still say you cannot blame it on the guns. First, let's start talking about the oil spill. And give you the latest there, because I feel like I'm the oil spill queen. I get so many emails. How many gallons? What's the latest? Tell us more. And over the weekend, I did a little blip on Tony Hayward and the fact that, you know, as the CEO of BP, as the face of BP, I mean, we get it. The guy has another rich cat life in England. But such bad timing. He decides to go to one of the world's biggest yacht races, and he has a yacht, a 52-foot yacht, and somebody was racing it for him. So he was there at this J.P. Morgan race and on the Isle of Wight. And, you know, that gets back to the people who are struggling in Louisiana and Alabama and in some of the other Gulf states who are furious. You got Jimmy Buffett, who's planning a concert in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and Kenny Chesney's going to be there, and some other people are chipping in to just raise money because they see what's happening. You know, this whole idea that people are getting money, yeah, eventually some of them are getting money, and yes, some of them have gotten checks, but there are a lot of people that are log jammed in the system. So they can't make their car payments. They can't make their house payments. We're not talking about the richy rich people. And who are the PR people of BP? What idiots? Why would that ever, they address the question, he's out at a yacht race, he's in England, he's seeing his family, he's watching his yacht, he's doing XYZ. And what made it worse, what compounded the problem, is the PR person saying, well, this is one of his favorite races. All they had to do, if I'm the PR person for them, all I have to do is say, he has not seen his family. He has been on the Gulf Coast from day one of that oil spill. He was on the plane down there, has been at it every single day. So he has not seen his son, his daughter, whoever. Instead, they make it about the yacht race and say, well, this is his favorite race. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he is going to see his family, too. So you can imagine you've got these raw nerves, and anybody in America who's got a senator title in front of them or a congressperson title in front of them, well, they're going to throw in there, too, on BP. And it's easy to beat up BP, especially because, come on, I mean, how many gallons still spilling? The leak is not officially capped. So as a result of Tony Hayward and this gaffe, because it is, it's just one gaffe after another. You have the senator from Alabama, Senator Richard Shelby, who's saying, boy, among other things, enough is enough. This guy has to go. You got to boot him. He should not be the CEO.
I think the president was a little slow off the block. His cabinet was there from day one. The Coast Guard was there from day one.
And that was, of course, Senator Mary Landrieu, who was talking about the government response being so slow. And then this is Senator Shelby talking about the CEO and BP, the latest there.
The fact that the chairman of BP had the gall, the arrogance, to go to a yacht race in one of his, in England, while all of this was going on here, I thought that was the height of stupidity. I believe myself that he should go. I don't know how he can represent a company in a crisis like BP and ignore what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico.
And he was also quoted on the side as saying, I'd like my life back. So that's not good. I mean, that's those loose lips, sink ships kind of deals. And the senators or the congresspeople or even the American people calling for the head of somebody at BP is not going to matter a hill of beans to the people in England, the running that company, not at all, especially when you think of what happened last week with the president, with the, you know, the chairman of the board, with a man who has ultimately all the power of British Petroleum, and his own gaffe saying he feels badly for the small people. But I wonder about the people handling the PR side of this. It is a nightmare for this company. There's got to be a better way to portray themselves, unless they're just that stupid. I mean, maybe they are from top to bottom that stupid. So while all of this is going on, infuriating people, the amount of oil continues to be the heaviest thing debated about the spill, is how much oil ultimately are we seeing that is being dumped into the Gulf of Mexico. And the answer is we still don't know. You know, there is no answer to this mystery. It could be as much as 100,000 barrels a day that are leaking into the ocean. And, you know, the worst case scenario, that's the worst case scenario now at this point. But maybe if you add up the 100,000 barrels, let's say that was the high level mark, high water mark, that's 4.2, if I'm right about this, that's 4.2 million gallons of oil a day. And this is the highest, craziest number that we've heard so far since this whole thing happened. Remember the very beginning of the spill? I hate to go back and take you all the way back to April 20th, but they were talking about 1,000 barrels a day, then 5,000, then 25,000, then 60,000, and now suddenly we've gotten to this figure of 100,000 barrels is a real possibility. So the bigger problem and the biggest mismanagement of this whole thing has to be, did they know how much they were releasing? They might have known the exact figure, but did they know a ballpark figure that was much more than some of the original numbers that were being tossed about? That's pretty troubling. What BP knew and when they knew it is the question that I'd like the answer to. On the flip side, we're going to talk about Afghanistan, the minerals, and the latest on what's happening in some of the villages. Hang with us.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water covering your whole house. Package 2, the whole home air package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are the majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, the time is now. Gold is at an all-time high and continues to move up. I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237 at extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kronschnabel, 800-686-2237, extension 108.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, glucosamine, chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's 3-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling 4-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible, and so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
What a swing of events in Afghanistan in this past, really, week and a half. Right now, the UN is saying that they've got plans to withdraw some of their foreign workers from that country because of the reports of insurgent threats against the workforce. They're concerned about the people that are over there. And in the meantime, in the middle of that, the question remains, this is one of the deadliest months. So on Capitol Hill, they're wrestling with whether this strategy is working or not. Is the U.S. strategy working? Who better to join us to talk about that? And, oh, yeah, the maps to the pathway of wealth, the minerals, where we're talking about riches of gold and lithium and other stuff that the Russians left behind. At least they left the key behind. Ultimately, will this change the fates and fortunes of that country? So a lot to talk about with Afghanistan journalist Anand Gopal. Anand, we haven't spoken to you in a while. It's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
So what's your reaction to the UN saying, look, the security is just unstable in Afghanistan, so we're trying to push for this reform, but we've got to pull some people out? And you heard what I said about as the U.S. is grappling with Jesus, our strategy working. Is the strategy working?
Well, first, with the U.N. talking about leaving, that's really not a good sign, because it's been there for the last 10 years, thick and thin. The U.N.'s even been attacked directly a couple of times, and they've pulled some people out, but they haven't really come to the point where they're talking about now, which is really drawing down their presence significantly. So it's a pretty important move, and it's a sign that this strategy overall doesn't seem to be working. In the last 6 months, there's been, as you know, a lot of troops that have come into the country, a renewed effort and focus, but still the violence seems to be going higher and higher.
Yeah, and it's an alarming trend that we've seen lately, the reports, it seems like whenever I'm on America Tonight, sadly, I'm talking about an increase in IED attacks. And, you know, when you look at that on the surface and you look at the military operations, it seems as though they're doing what they can do to dismantle it. You and I have talked about this before. What do you think the U.S. needs to do better?
Well, part of the problem is that it's not just the U.S. That has to fight this war. They're partnering with the Afghans, the Afghan government, and the Afghan security forces, both of which are seem to be woefully inadequate, not up to the task. The Afghan security forces are very raw. They're not well-trained. It's very difficult for them to fight against the insurgents alone. The Afghan government, widely seen as being pretty corrupt, and in general, don't really have a presence outside of the major cities. These two factors are two of the biggest issues that the U.S. is facing.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, talking about the government and Karzai and his credibility, if Hamid Karzai is the man who's the president, is the guy who's the face of the government, do you honestly, as someone who really knows this country and has covered it, do you honestly think that with Karzai as the ruler that Afghanistan can truly become an independent, democratic kind of country?
It's hard to imagine such an outcome taking place, particularly if you look at the trends in the last few years, which has been just the opposite and away from independence or democracy. Hamid Karzai's acted in a more of a traditional strongman role where he's fired or gotten rid of people who disagree with him. Of course, there were the presidential elections in which he really was a massive level of fraud. And so these are all worrying concerns. But the problem that the U.S. is facing is it doesn't really seem to be any alternative on offer to the president.
You know, one of the other things that, of course, made huge news is the fact that if it could be mined, if there was security and you could deal with the warlords and whatnot, there's a massive amount of riches in some of some key mountainous areas in Afghanistan. What was your reaction to that? And you probably knew about the story about the Russians having already charted a course for this and scoped it out and basically laid out where they thought a lot of the mineral deposits were, especially possibly the gold and the lithium, which there's an incredible amount of desire for that. What was your reaction, Anand, when you heard that story?
Well, you know, this has actually been known for some time. Like you mentioned, going back into the 80s and in recent years, there have been a number of reports that have come out talking about the massive amount of mineral wealth in the country. I think the fact that the report was released now may indicate that it was done to sort of intervene in the debate that's going on within the administration about what is the purpose of staying in Afghanistan, what's the long-term strategy, and whether it's worth actually kicking it out or not.
Yeah. Another big thing politically, I mentioned the politics on our side of this, the U.S. side of it, but how about the country's National Assembly elections? They're still on schedule, from what I understand, for September. And actually, there's a lot of women involved in this. There are something like 400 women or so on the preliminary list of candidates. I think that's, I mean, you know, depending on how the elections go down, that has to be a good sign. Is that a good sign?
Well, on the surface, it seems hopeful, but two things to keep in mind. One is that there is a quota in place by law which mandates that there has to be a certain number of women who are running. But secondly, it's unclear whether the elections, when they take place in September, will be real, genuine elections or if there'll be a repeat of the presidential elections, which was widely considered to be fraudulent. And the reason is because most of the country, particularly in the south and the east, is not really under government control, and it's very difficult under those circumstances to actually have free and fair elections. So there's a real concern that instead what we're going to see is ballot stuffing and fake voters, which is the sort of things we saw last time around.
Yeah, and that's depressing to think of that, because then I call them Jimmy-rigged elections, and that was the problem with the whole run of Karzai, which we just discussed, is he is the face of Afghanistan. Ultimately, in watching everything that's happened on the streets and the people's reaction and the mosques and et cetera, and from your point of view, and we have talked about this before, but updating everything, what do the Americans still need that grassroots touch? Do they need to get into the mosques? Do they need to really get in there and speak to the people in their own language for this thing to work?
They really do, and what's striking in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been covering this story is that Afghans more and more are really growing tired of the American presence, whereas 7, 8 years ago they really welcomed the U.S. invasion and really welcomed the toppling of the Taliban. You really see a degree of anti-American sentiment that hasn't been there before. I think patience is really wearing thin by Afghans on behalf of the Afghan government and the U.S. presence. So really I think the U.S. needs to get back into the grassroots level and really try to turn that around.
Yeah. What are you, because you certainly bop back and forth between Afghanistan and the United States, what are some of the things that you're covering lately it relates to the conflict and what's happening there?
Well, the big focus this summer is going to be the offensive in Kandahar. This is supposed to be thousands of troops that are going into that city sometime this summer or early fall. To try to reclaim that city or take it back from the Taliban. And it remains to be seen if it's actually going to be an offensive in the traditional sense of the word, where there's thousands of troops that land into the city and clear neighborhood by neighborhood, or if it's going to be a more protracted and subtle affair. But that's the big story this summer.
Yeah. Anand, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for your insights. We definitely enjoy getting the updates.
Thank you.
All right, and you heard what Anand said, and he's right, focusing on Kandahar and what's going to happen there and the bad sign of the UN and security remaining unstable. So this push for, you know, what's going to happen with some of these workers coming out, that has to be an alarming trend, at least I would think for Karzai, a bell would ring in his head because of the improvised explosive device incidents that they're seeing, as I said before, the IEDs, the occurrences of them, the suicide attacks that continue to crop up. And even though the military operations have intensified, the country is unstable despite all of the improvements that have been made along the way. And the key thing is the development of the Afghan security forces. I mean, this is a real crossroads because just like Iraq, that's the idea. They have to be able to, the security forces have to be able to work and have to not be riddled with people who are corrupt and who are taking money under the table, for lack of a better way to describe it, to look the other way. That has to happen, and those forces have to be in place, I think, for the United States to completely withdraw from the occupation, or at least a big chunk of it, in Afghanistan. So I really believe we're looking at years down the road. What do you say? 800-259-5791. You can throw in your two on that. Plus, we've got odds and ends on the flip side.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
And ends. This is an odd one. Who would you have picked to win the U.S. Open? I mean, it could be anyone's game, especially when you're talking about U.S. Open and the way the greens are and whatnot. A lot of times you have the players whining about the what the USGA does, but bravo to them. They should have to play a tough course. So Graham McDowell of Northern Ireland holds on to win the U.S. Open at Pebble today. I watched the tail end of that. He shot a 3-over, isn't this crazy, 3-over 75 to finish even par for the tourney. And he knocked out a surging Ernie Els and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, who had a chance. They all had a chance on Sunday, but they weren't able to do it. So bravo to the Irishman who was able to come and steal it from two of the Americans anyway. And he earned it. He played a very tough course, and he played the best golf that he could. It's so odd when so many of us are in this horrible heat wave that you get in the summer in the Southwest, other parts of the country, and you turn on the tube and you see these guys over at Pebble, and they're bundled up like in sweaters in in June, almost the end of June, no less. But we'll have more on Graham McDowell and his big win for Ireland a little bit later in this version of America Tonight when we get to Sports Shorts. Let's go across the border to the north and Sam in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Simply out of this world. Words cannot describe fantastic.
Oh, there must be a reason for this. Let's hear what it is.
Can a guy say he's out of this world simply fantastic?
I was just assuming there was something behind it.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Okay, first of all, we had a barbecue at her parents' place on Father's Day. And her father, you know, we all got together, you know, and he said, you know, after what happened last week and finding out that Julie had a clean bill of health, gifts cannot describe how he feels.
Aww.
So that's why I'm saying out of
this. A great sentiment. And for people who don't know and haven't heard Sam on the air, there was a cancer scare for his girlfriend, longtime girlfriend, actually, of at least the last couple of years. And luckily she got the clean bill, like he said.
Right. So everything's cool with that.
Good.
Okay. This chairman of the BP should be tied up to a hockey net and players should take a pot shot at him. As of what he did this weekend.
Okay,
your president, he had a right to go to a ball game because he wasn't that far away. If something happened, I think the game was in Washington that he went to see?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that means if there was a crisis, I don't know the layout of Washington, D.C., so I don't know how far the stadium is to the White House, so he could probably, you know, fly there in a helicopter in 5 minutes. So in a way, he had a right to go out and let off some steam. But the chairman of BP, I mean, he's got this you-know-what-don't-stink attitude. Like, so I'm the chairman of the board. It's leaking out. I'll still have a job. Hopefully the shareholders, if they all have half a brain, they should all have him removed.
Well, if the shareholders complained,
yeah,
and that's where they would, you know, sit up and pay attention, then something could happen to them. But I don't know that you're going to have the shareholders complain. I mean, we'll see.
Right.
It was terrible. The CEO going sailing and then making a big deal of it was the problem. That was
right.
The problem, is the way it was handled. Could they have said, look, he's going to see his family, and, hey, he happens to be at this race? There's ways around that, but they just don't care. That's what the problem is. And then to say, you know, like, I'm tired of this and whatever. You just don't want to go there with the people who have frayed nerves.
Right.
And everyone in America does. No matter, I don't care what they label themselves as. I've talked to all kinds of people. And people are furious, Sam, over the spill. Some people can't even watch the tube because they don't want to see an oily bird. They took their family down to the Gulf Coast. Remember, I'm in the satellite facility where so many people go to the Gulf Shores, where they go to these places in Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and Florida, and they're canceling vacations. They really are canceling vacations.
I can understand that. You know,
yes.
I mean, and like I said, I mentioned earlier, the snowball effect.
Yeah.
You know, you heard what the French national soccer team did today?
No, tell me.
Okay, I don't know if you heard this, but one of their players was sent home by the coach because they had a disagreement, and I'm being nice when I say disagreement. So they got together for a practice today, and in protest, they just walked off the field. And the chairman of the French Football Federation resigned right there.
That's power in numbers.
Right, and they've got a very important game. I think it's Tuesday against South Africa. So.
Yeah, that's huge.
Oh, you know, one question, then I know you have other callers. Is the Dallas Morning News giving, I don't know about the other newspapers in Dallas, is the Dallas Morning News giving a fair amount of coverage to the World Cup, or?
I read all sports sections, like New York and Chicago and LA and other ones, and if I'm reading the Dallas paper, it's a fair amount of coverage, not great. No, they're focusing more on Cowboys mini camp, more on what's happening with the Texas Rangers as usual. Usually that's what you have happen in places like Philadelphia or wherever. They're going to cover the local stuff first and a little bit of the national stuff. So not an incredible amount, but some, a fair amount. Whenever the U.S. plays, Sam, that's the key thing. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Whenever the U.S. plays, and I was watching, and this is the thing with soccer, I am not a soccer fan. I mean, I have gone to soccer games, but I'm not a soccer fan. I'm a huge fan and covered the Big Four and covered college sports for a big chunk of my career. But soccer, not so much. However, when the U.S. is competing like everybody else, I'm liking it. I mean, I really, honestly, I got up on Friday and I watched the men's game, and we're going to talk about this later, some of the specifics. I'm going to throw it into sports shorts too, just like Pebble Beach and the U.S. Open and the Northern Ireland guy, winning the U.S. Open. But it was awesome to watch that game. It really was. Even though I was so bloody tired, I was able to catch the second half of it. So the U.S. was in the hole, and then they were able to come back, and then they were ripped off, I think, with a goal. Sam said something about the president going to a game. The big thing that made news was the president golfing on Saturday with the vice president and golfing with a couple of other people, too. But he was playing in Washington. He was playing somewhere in Washington where, it was so humid. I don't know, can't imagine what kind of round that would be like. So, you know, golf is like 4 hours. And the Republican National Committee released an ad pretty much as soon as they knew that he was going to go swinging the clubs that took a big shot at Obama for golfing during the BP oil spill crisis in the Gulf. It's a fair question. Are they right to do that? I mean, they're smart to do that from the PR point of view because that's the name of the game. And then he did go to a baseball game on Friday night that was in Washington as well. It was the Nationals game, and it was the Nationals and the White Sox were playing. So naturally the Chicago connection, and in fact the White Sox beat the Nationals. Just for grins, I'll tell you that that's what happened. It was extra innings. I think it went to 11 innings, and it was maybe 2-1. I know it was a low-scoring game. So should the president be able to go to a baseball game in Washington on a Friday, then hit the links on a Saturday, and feel like he's allowed to do that while we're drowning in oil in the Gulf? From the Republicans' point of view, that's what you do. If you're running the National Committee and you're gonna run ads, that's what you're gonna do, because the Democrats would do the very same thing had it been reversed. But I'm just asking you if you think that's ridiculous, or he should be able to, hey, go hit a golf ball and, even with what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico with the oil crisis, I can talk. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
I'm in Kentucky in Stew Country here, and I'm standing in the middle of the BP gas station filling up my car.
There you go.
You know, I don't know if I'm the only one asking this question, but how is it that President Obama is just going to take BP's word that they're going to pay us $20 billion? Isn't this supposed to be like some legal document? Or, cause I remember, you know, that back when I had to send a little bit of money to the IRS, they wouldn't just take my word. I had to send, you know, it was like a legal thing going on there. So, what is it going to stop, BP from just disappearing, getting sold off, you know, to three or four other gas stations, you know, like Shell or whatever? And then, who's going to pay that $20 billion?
I'm not so worried about that. I'm worried that there'll be more than $20 billion. And I think, well, here's the bigger thing. They're going out for loans. They're going to get the money. So you do have a point about the money. How do we know for sure you're going to get the money, that they're going to be there, is the bigger thing. Not that they're going to rook us, but that they're going to be there for that, as long as they don't go bankrupt. So if everybody, you know, the stock just completely plummeted to nothing, where it's in the 30s now, and it did take a big hit, but if it really went all the way down, then you're right. Then what would happen? I think they make so much money, Tomas, and between the money changing and with the lending, I think the money will be there. The question is, what about the overage and the lawsuits and the legitimate claims? And then what about afterwards, when there's still more to be cleaned up? Thank you. Appreciate it. 800-259-5791. Hang with us.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hour, folks, once again, talking about numbers and how much oil is actually being spilled into the Gulf of Mexico. Now the estimate or guesstimate is 100,000 barrels a day. So I think even the bigger question, and Tomas is right, I mean, we want to know about the money because people are not getting the money they're supposed to get, and they're supposed to be this $20 billion fund. But I think, is that going to be enough money? And then what happens afterwards is a very big question. Also, will the Gulf Coast bounce back? If this is worse than was originally thought, and we're starting to see tar balls, by the way, come up Panama City, they reported them, the beaches there where a lot of people hang out. It's a very pretty area. You got those white sandy beaches. Now you got tar balls. How far down the line does this go? Fort Walton reported them. So this is hitting Florida too. Finally, there are some people that are raising money, including Jimmy Buffett, who's going to do a big concert on, I mentioned this already, on July 1st, inviting a couple of other famous people like country star Kenny Chesney and they're raising, flat out raising money for people who need it, who have been slammed by this disaster and just are not getting the money quickly enough, even if they're going to get some of that money back. It's not a handout, so you're not lean. I don't just show up in the Gulf, say I have a shrimp business and put out my hand and demand that, well, normally I would get this much. They're not getting what they would normally get, because in the case of fish hauls, as all of you know, it's an uncertain thing. One day it's like you struck gold, the next day a little bit sparse. But you're making pretty good money usually when things are going well overall, if you added up everything day to day to day to day all the way through an entire month, because you're sending the boats out pretty much almost every single day. And then you have the people that you hire. So I think the big question too is the Gulf Coast going to bounce back? And if it is going to bounce back, how long is it going to take? Are we going to see a Katrina-like? I don't like to compare the two because I think they're vastly different in some ways. But if you've been to New Orleans, you know what I'm talking about. It has not bounced back. I don't care what anyone says. Yes, if you go to the French Quarter, of course you can buy lots of drinks and party and lift your shirt up and get beads and do that whole thing. But you go anywhere outside of the French Quarter, it's completely different, I think. And there are people that are pushing hard to see that change, but it has not happened fast because it's been 5 years. So will it take that long or more for the Gulf to bounce back? What about these tar balls on the beach? How much is underneath that? Yeah, you clean it out, but what do you sift through years later, months later? What are you getting? All right, I hate it when it's like when you see an anchor person, they tell you about a spaceship has landed in your neighbor's backyard. Where is it? We're going to tell you about it. And then they don't give you the payoff. I call it the payoff. So I mentioned at the top, and this is a huge story that Izzy in Missouri brought up, and we've talked about a little bit too. And people now are starting to really catch on to this. Fremont, Nebraska. Because the people there are furious of what's happened with the Hispanic workers, the illegals, who are attracted to that area because of the meat packing plants. So they're coming in, they're getting the jobs. The voters there are going to decide Monday whether to ban hiring or renting property to flat out illegal immigrants. This vote comes after a 2-year fight where there were enough signatures to put this question to the public vote. If the ordinance does get the stamp of approval for everybody who goes and votes, then the 25,000 people who live there could face a long, long court battle. Either way, there's emotions running high on both sides of the street here, just like in Arizona. Because what some people are saying is, how do you get along with people when you've got this campaign against it or for it? How does that make the people who are living here, how does it make them feel? But the people who have lived there for decades and decades and decades and generation after generation after generation are upset by what they're seeing, by the lack of what they're calling law enforcement or federal laws to prevent the illegal immigration that they're seeing. Now what's happened in Arizona, and this has been a 2-year fight for them, so the Arizona thing was going on, this just brings it up again, where you're talking about reasonable suspicion. Now they're saying, forget about it. You can't, I mean, nothing. You're talking about you cannot rent. It would be against the law. And you cannot hire, period. You cannot do it. So there's high unemployment there. There are people that cannot find jobs. And many of the folks, when they're asked about it, say that you cannot continue to say, we won't do these jobs because if I can get a job in a meatpacking plant, I can't get a job anyplace else, and I can make a decent wage, a livable wage, of course I would do it. And the unemployment numbers, that I looked this up, are just about 5%. Just about 5%. Now, the national average, of course, is ridiculous. I think it's closer to 10. They say 9.7, but it's 10 or over, really. And I can believe it. Fremont's smaller, so 5 would be about right. But what's going to happen if this measure is approved, that means potential renters would have to apply for a license to rent. then the application process would mean that the people there in Fremont would have to check if the renters are in the country legally. If they're illegal, they won't be issued a license allowing them to rent the apartment or house or whatever it is. They'll also have to have the businesses use something that a lot of folks say is successful and works, is that E-Verify database stuff to make sure the employees are able to work. And the people who support it say, we got to do this. I mean, we have to do something because the federal law enforcement is so lax. But then others are crying out discrimination, discrimination, discrimination. So here we go again. I think you're going to see more stories like this start to pop up. And we have had them. We have had them in the last 6 years if you've been paying attention. But now they're getting more coverage because of what's happened in Arizona, to be sure. All right, I mentioned also, too, at the top, you might have been one of the people that went to go see Toy Story 3. And, boy, are they really knocking it out of the ballpark. The box office numbers, $109 million so far, raked in for this movie. You know, the whole Buzz Lightyear is a popular, you know, you think about it, the Space Ranger toy, Buzz Lightyear has hit a significant amount of kids that love Buzz Lightyear. And then you think of the original Toy Story, and I didn't realize this, but I started to go back in my mind, when was the first Toy Story made? When did Pixar do that? Matt, when do you think the first Toy Story movie came out?
I think it was like 96 or so.
15 years ago. 15 years ago. Whew. So at least in this film, apparently, like Woody and Buzz, the owner of Woody and Buzz was a little boy, remember? Andy. So now Andy is going to college. He's 17 years old. So they advanced the stories that, you know, you weren't stuck back with the little boy. But people obviously love it. And it's got the voices of people that, like Tim Allen and Tom Hanks, that are also pretty much in embrace and make them come to life. So on a lighter note, in the middle of all the things that we're talking about with the oil spill and Fremont, Nebraska, the people going to vote, and we throw in this with Toy Story 3 since it's Father's Day weekend, and some of you might have been out to watch that movie. We'll be watching that vote in Nebraska, and I say to the people there, good for them. They set out with an initiative. They took 2 years, because that's how long it ultimately was, by the time they got all the signatures they needed to get the petition, to get it through, to put it on the ballot. So now this is fair. I mean, this is on the ballot, and people can vote or they cannot vote. You would assume if they had all those signatures, they're going to get the votes necessary and get it passed. Then it's a question, is it going to be challenged, which it probably will be, and where they go from there. Always interesting. You never know what's going to happen, right? You can always flip me your thoughts at americatonight.net.